We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this I'll say it with air quotes, All-Star Weekend.
Really, I mean, it is All-Star Weekend. It is. But you know, people are still out. People are still going to be in them streets.
Not according to the mayor and the commissioner. They're like, hey, listen, welcome to Atlanta. Stay in your hotel room. Wear a mask. Don't go anywhere.
I don't think they said that. But, I mean, if that's what you want to go with, I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah, kind of went there. It is All-Star Sunday, and everything going to be crammed into one day this year at State Farm Arena. And as they get to all the big stars come into town here for, and there will be lots of parties. It is Atlanta, and Atlanta's a party, as we all know. Sean Devaney is an NBA columnist for Forbes and Heavy.com. He's been on the program before. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Hawks and All-Star Weekend, and we welcome him in on the WadeFord.com hotline, Wade Ford being Atlanta's Ford dealer. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So, Sean, were you surprised at the timing of the dismissal of Coach Pierce?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think around the league there was surprise because it seemed like, you know, he was kind of taking the fall for maybe some bad decisions that the front office made. You know, maybe they went too far all in on guys like Gallinari and Rondo and certainly Bogdanovich, who hasn't been healthy, and the coach winds up taking the blame. Now, there's the other side of the coin is, well, the players, perhaps Trae Young most importantly, weren't necessarily behind Lloyd Pierce, and that was one of the reasons behind that. And, you know, that's a different wrinkle that you know, if you're Travis Schlenk, you can't really talk about it that way. But it does seem like there was some of that going on as well, that maybe the players weren't as behind Lloyd Pierce as it seemed like that they ought to have been, given you know, how well liked he is around the league.
All right, well, go with that wrinkle, Sean Devaney. Expand on that a little bit. I know we've heard about this stuff, but what do you mean by, what do you consider, you know, going on behind the scenes between Coach Pierce and Trae Young? What does that amount to you?
Yeah, you know, obviously, Trae Young, I think he feels like this season especially, he's come in after the year that he had last year and has sacrificed, you know, has given up shots and has done a more thorough job of trying to get everybody else involved. And you look at the standings, and it's not necessarily paying off. And so I think if you're Trae Young, you're looking at it like, well, why am I sacrificing if nothing else is getting all that much better? You know, obviously this is a better team, and they're in a better position than they've been in recent years. But you know, they're not an above 500 team in the East, which, you know, is something that is, when you look at the roster, they ought to be. So I think it's performance based, and the fact that they weren't performing, I think that's what bothers Trae Young, and that Lloyd Pierce didn't necessarily have the faith. And you know, you do see this a lot of times with sort of developmental coaches, you know, guys who come in and are there to develop the young talent. I think of Brett Brown in Philadelphia, you know, kind of brought that young talent along. And once they got to a certain point, guys like Embiid and Ben Simmons, sort of lost faith in him, and they had to make a coaching change. And that you see that a little bit in Boston right now too, where Tatum and Jaylen Brown, have been brought along by Brad Stevens, and as soon as things start going bad, there's talk that maybe they don't have that they're tuning out the coach. So it's not uncommon to see. I think the surprising thing is how quickly the Hawks moved on it.
So with that being said, Coach McMillan, do you think that he's going to be seriously considered for the head coaching job?
I think he should. Nate's done a really good job everywhere he's gone. And what Nate doesn't get credit for, he was a defense, slow pace, kind of an old school coach. He kind of coached the way he played when he first came in Seattle and then in Portland as well. He really did adapt in Indiana and adapt to the way the game is. So many coaches come in and they have a system, and they're going to put their system in, from hell or high water. And even if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense with the talent that they have and things like that, and Nate is not that way. He's somebody who will adapt and is a very, very intelligent coach. So, I think he will get a crack at keeping that job, especially if they play better, as they have, with him at the helm.
Sean Devaney, NBA columnist for ForbesandHeavy.com. I want to ask you about Trae Young. You said something about Trae Young that I agree with. I don't know that I entirely understand why, okay? Here we have Trae Young, and, of course, the comparisons are always to Luka Doncic. I get it. But at the same time, Trae Young is record-smashing. I mean, he keeps setting records. He's about the youngest to do this, the youngest to do that. He ties records or exceeds the records of LeBron James and Shaquille O'Neal, now Oscar Robertson. He's about to become the first player ever to do this 25-9 thing. And he's having all these records. I mean, he's a record-smashing player, and yet he gets voted 11th. 11th. I mean, can you imagine Oscar Robertson gets voted 11th? I mean, so there's a disconnect. And Hugh says he's not very well liked around the league. So let's say that that's true. The question is why? What exactly?
Yeah, it's a fair question. For somebody who's not been in the league that long, usually it takes more than just a couple years for a player to develop sort of a negative reputation. But it has happened quickly for Trae. I think he does talk quite a bit. I think that's part of it. I think. A lot of times when a guy has sort of the freedom that Trae had last year, especially, and is putting up big numbers on a bad team, that other players tend to look down on that. So I think part of that is just success. He's got to be able to lead that team and get them certainly over 500, get them into the playoffs, or else I think for other players, it kind of rings hollow, what he does and the credit that he gets when they're not winning. I think a lot of players look at what his situation was last year and say, well, I could do that. it's not necessarily true, but a lot of players will look at, well, if I took that many shots, I could do that. But so I think that among players that's something that until he wins, until he gets to the playoffs, he's going to have that reputation.
Do you see Brooklyn as being a legit contender as for a title and surpassing the Lakers in that sense?
I do, yeah. I mean, they're even though they don't defend, I know the adage is that defense wins championships. I'm not so sure that's true this year. When you look at the numbers that are being put up across the board offensively, it's pretty incredible. And then what Brooklyn's doing, especially even without Kevin Durant being healthy, it's unbelievable what those guys what the ceiling is for those guys. Now, they're going to have to find ways to play defense, and they're trying to bring in some guys, Andre Roberson and Iman Shumpert, who were kind of veteran NBA defenders, and they'll continue to do that. They have some tools available to them. Spencer Dinwiddie got hurt, so they get an exception worth about $5 million. If they can go out and sign somebody, you think of players who get waived, an Andre Drummond or something like that, they'll be able to make a big move like that in the next few weeks. So I think that'll shore them up a little bit. But just with those three guys and Joe Harris, people don't give him enough credit for what an outstanding shooter he is and how important he will be in terms of spreading the floor for those guys. So right now, they look like they could be a juggernaut as the second half gets going.
Sean Devaney of Forbes and Heavy.com talking NBA All-Star Weekend, All-Star Sunday for the city of Atlanta. There are a lot of players, Sean, who, not the least of which was LeBron, who expressed either concern or outright disdain for the idea of playing an All-Star game this season. But for the league, I understand why the league wants to do it. I mean, first off, the league is a little cash poor, as all leagues are, because of the COVID, and this is money that they're going to get, a lot of it from television rights and whatnot. And for the league also, a chance to have, its showcase with all its big names at one day on national TV. And so for all those reasons, the league said we're going forward with this. Are these players who are coming here going to be invested in this, or are they still grumbling? How do they feel about it?
No, I think that, look, the All-Star weekend is usually something where players go and it's a good time to hang out with other guys and a lot of business gets done, and there's a lot of sponsorship stuff, and that's how it usually is, and these guys have packed schedules. It's not going to be that. This is a clock punching exercise. They're going to go in, they're going to punch the clock for that day, and then get out of there. That's pretty much how this is going to be. Players obviously were looking to this week as something where they could have some rest after such a short, I think for the Lakers it was 71 days between the finals and their first game on December 22nd. So I think for a lot of players, they understand that they have to do this. You heard some of the complaints, but that kind of got muffled once Adam Silver showed them the numbers and said, look, this is how much money we'd be giving up if you don't do this. And then the NBA, of course, every dollar that comes in, players get 50 cents, owners get 50 cents. So players had a lot of incentive to make this happen. I don't think any of them are excited about it. So like I say, I think this is one where you kind of punch the clock, do your thing, and then get out of it.
How important is this? We make a lot about the fact that the no Hawks are taking part in the All-Star weekend, All-Star Sunday, in the town where the game is going on. But maybe that's a blessing in disguise because you have a new coach. You haven't had a chance to practice yet. And now you have these 4 or 5 days where you could actually get together and go to the facility and work out and practice and take a little bit of a breather. Is that a big break for the Hawks in some regards?
Yeah, they'll take advantage of, there's requirements in terms of how much time off the players are supposed to get here and how much the team can can require them to be at the facility. So they do have to have a break, which is not a bad thing for the Hawks either, with some of the guys that are trying to get healthy and get back to 100%. But yeah, there are coaches who are kind of looking at this as a second training camp. They did not have much of a training camp back in December, and so you've got this week and as much as you can take advantage of it and possibly get some work in, get some practice time in, which so many of these guys have not had, and you throw in the extra thing of having a new coach with the Hawks. Yeah, this is going to be very valuable time. I'm sure they'll take advantage of every moment that they can together, whether it's to watch film or do some work.
Sean, appreciate your taking a few minutes. Thanks very much, and we look forward to All-Star Sunday. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Sean Devaney, NBA columnist, Forbes and Heavy.com. You looking forward to the game on Sunday, Hugh? Or is that something you're locked in on like normal?
Not at all, John Fricky.
Yeah.
I probably watched see one. I saw the starting lineups for both squads and right. Who they picked. So it should be a pretty interesting game, but not going to be locked in.
I'll
like
probably
that.
Watch the first half, watch the slam dunk, and then I'll probably be gone. Just saying. If I miss the second half, you'll have to inform me what happens. NFL next, big headlines. Of course, Big Ben's got a new deal. What does that mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers and for other quarterbacks trying to swing deals? Next with John and Hume. Cool Ray Heating and Cooling's lifetime parts and labor warranty. We mentioned yesterday, Hugh Douglas, that there are a couple of NFL executives speaking for everybody, I think, and saying that, you know, this is going to be a seismic change in the NFL this offseason, and that one coach said it is going to be a massacre when it comes to cutting players. We're going to have so many players cut, it's going to blow your mind. How many players in the next 10 days are going to get cut? And, you know, teams trying to, you know, make room under a, you know, major reduction in the salary cap. I guess one thing I didn't expect was that the cap casualties would include punters, but apparently that's the new hotness in cutting players. In Thomas Morstead cut by the Saints yesterday, Cam Johnson cut by the Eagles. All of a sudden, punters are getting cut. I'm like, okay. All right, punters, that's one I didn't expect. But, you know, look, listen, no reason to pay a punter, you know. Punter's like a minimum wage job, I think, coming up here, huh? I think.
I don't know about minimum wage, John, but it's one of those jobs where they're looking to cut the fat, and if they feel like they can get, you know, save a little bit of cash at that position, then why not? I don't know about bargain, like not making that much money. Or some punters make a nice little living for themselves. So
yeah, right. Yeah. No kidding. And Morstead's a veteran, and Cam Johnson's a really good punter, so we'll see. Not that the Falcons are in the business of punter. They're not. Obviously, we have Hofrichter, and he looked like he was pretty darn good last year. Another one of those young players that you know, showed out a little bit. All right, let's talk quarterbacks. Let's begin with Ben Roethlisberger. Huey takes a new deal. I love how they phrase this. Ben Roethlisberger took a $5 million salary cut from $19 to $14 million. Hugh. He didn't.
Oh yeah, I know.
Cut.
I mean, you know, I know. You know, I know. It's just funny because people say, "Oh, he took a pay cut." Nah, bro. He got his money up front. Like he took a pay cut as far as his base salary is concerned. He still got his money. He just got it early. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that's why it's funny when people say, "Oh, he took a pay cut." No, it ain't like the pay cut that we take in everyday America. It's not America everyday. Worker pay cut. It's one of those, hey, we're going to reduce your salary. In order to do that, we're going to give it to you. We're going to give you a salary in the form of a signing bonus. And we're just going to bring your salary down. Say if you were making $14.5 million for the season, and they want to bring your base salary down to $500,000. They give you 14 today. Like when they redo, that's what they did. So when he walked away from that salary reduction, he signed a new contract. He got a check.
There was that, yeah. And then they also say, oh, by the way, we'll take some of this money and give it to you after you're no longer working for us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, so it's not like, you know, hey,
I know.
I'm strapped for cash.
Right.
No, it's not like, no.
That isn't the question to me. The question to me is whether or not that's the right move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, is Ben Roethlisberger, at his age, taking them to a Super Bowl, or should they be thinking about, you know?
Well, I mean, again, like I said, John, like we were talking about yesterday, when you make moves like this, you know, I know you're talking about they got a pain later on and everything like that, but it just makes it easier to make that move when you do something like this, mm-hmm. You know? Because you're basically backloading his money. You know, you gave him a signing bonus and you probably gave him a nice little contract and backloaded it, knowing damn well that he's not going to see that. He's not going to see that money. He mm-hmm. knows that. That's why they gave him the money up front. They gave him a check up front. He's not going to see that money. He knows his days are numbered.
I'm surprised more players, Hugh, don't go Kirk Cousins. I mean, when Kirk Cousins signed his deal with the Minnesota Vikings, it was a groundbreaking deal. It was $92 million. Now, compared to the $500 million that Patrick Mahomes just got, that's not that much money, I understand, comparatively. I mean, you and I, $92 million, oh my God. But what made Kirk Cousins' deal so groundbreaking was that it was fully guaranteed.
Yeah, but when you look at it now, like, that was a big deal back then. And it's still, you know, like you said, it's still a big deal to us. But look at the money the quarterbacks are making now.
Right, I understand.
You see what I'm saying? And it's like Kirk Cousins, he got fleeced.
I mean, you know, even though his money's guaranteed, he got fleeced. But that's why you noticed how a lot of other teams, like, he was the only one that got his money guaranteed because they needed Kirk Cousins. Like, he was – to them, he was the answer. He was definitely the answer. But, you know, normally teams follow suit in the NFL and they copycat each other. Nobody has copycatted what he Kirk Cousins got. They've gotten a lot more money up front.
Right.
But nobody's gotten a guaranteed contract. So right now, he's the only person that I know of in the NFL that had a fully guaranteed contract.
And Kirk Cousins was talking about contracts yesterday, talking about other people's money. When it came to a star quarterback down in Dallas who has – now, we are probably 2 weeks or maybe even a little bit more into the period where you could franchise tag a player. In a normal year, there would have been probably anywhere from 5 to 7 players, maybe 8, who would be franchise tagged by their team for the coming season. We have the ability to sign you at whatever that rate is at your position. But this year, there's been no players that have been tagged. And so none, not a one. And that's due to the economics of the NFL at the moment. And Dak Prescott is among those that could be tagged but hasn't been tagged by the Dallas Cowboys. Whether they get to an agreement on a new deal or not, we'll see how that kind of works out. But Kirk Cousins was speaking yesterday about Dak Prescott and saying to Dak that, look, if they tag you again, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, the only piece I've said to him in crossing his path, going back maybe a couple off seasons, was just to make the point that the franchise tag can be your friend. You know, it can be a help to you if that's the route you choose to go. And so, you know, he played on the franchise tag this past year. I think he's in a great spot now. Everybody knows he can play, that he's an elite quarterback. And, really the ball is more in the court of the Cowboys and what they want to do going forward. But I think it's a no-brainer that Dak's the real deal and is going to have a great career moving forward. And, you know, he's in a really good spot.
Hugh, were you ever – did they ever talk to you about tag?
Nah, never was in a position to be franchise tag. I always was in a position to get a deal done. So never a franchise tag.
Gotcha. To Dak Prescott, is it your impression that that they're going to get a deal done in Dallas? I'm just asking you to guess.
My guesstimation, John, to be honest, I would say probably. I mean, because right now you don't have a quarterback under contract. But this is the thing. You're kind of at the – even though the Dallas Cowboys have all the holding all the cards, they're at the mercy of Dak right now. Because I'm pretty sure – that the line, even though Dak is hurt, that line has moved as far as what was negotiable, as far as his money was concerned. That line has probably moved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So Dak probably asking for a little bit more, even though he's hurt. And that might be a bold move, but he's looking for that security, you know, because he bet on himself. And unfortunately, he got hurt, but he did bet on himself. And, you know, how Andy Dalton played, looked like Dak kind of won in a sense. It just all depends on what the conversations have been. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, I can't see them not exploring their options as far as other quarterbacks are concerned. But I think right now Dak's in a pretty good position.
A lot of teams exploring their options about quarterbacks. And the Deshaun Watson talks, the Russell Wilson talks, those trade talks, they haven't diminished at all. They've quieted a little bit. But they doesn't mean that they're not being – Seattle is openly admitting that they're taking calls on Russ Wilson, and they're listening to people. As for Deshaun Watson, Jalen Ramsey – and I was wondering why Jalen Ramsey was speaking out. Why was he talking about Deshaun's deal? You know, what's their connection here? Because, you know, obviously they're not the same team. But apparently they have the same agent. And so somebody asked Jalen Ramsey about Deshaun and about whether Jalen Ramsey thinks that Deshaun will be anywhere near Houston when the season starts.
At the end of the day, Deshaun is a great man. Let me say that first and foremost. He's a great man. He's a servant leader. Even now with people trying to crucify him and talk bad on his name, he's still out there doing things for the community in Houston. So he's a great man. He's a professional. He's going to do things that are still positive around the community and, you know, probably help his teammates out because they're still his teammates now. Probably still be helping him out, doing things here and there. But I highly doubt he'll ever, you know, suit up in a Texans uniform again. He's very serious. I would say he's very serious.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's probably serious too. Look, J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson, you both did great things. They're big, you know, great to the city of Houston. I don't know why anybody in Houston would be mad at either of those guys, because in my world, of course, I'm viewing it from my perch in Atlanta, it ain't about those guys. It's about the management of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but that's fanatics, John. Fanatics, and they're mad. You know, people can't articulate their feelings, so they get mad at the player and want to call him names and things of that nature. So that's probably a little bit of what it is. But he's doing what's best for him. And the way that organization has been run over the last couple of years, I mean, honestly, can you blame me?
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this organization is a disaster. You want to get mad at somebody, get mad at ownership. I mean, Deshaun didn't trade DeAndre Hopkins. Deshaun didn't do, trade Jadeveon Clowney. Deshaun didn't cut J.J. Watt. I mean, all right, whatever. NBA All-Star Sunday. Are you excited about the All-Star game or not? We want to open up the phone lines and talk to you this morning. Here, Atlanta has the first of two All-Star stages we're going to have this year, and we're wondering whether or not you're jacked about this. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 4741-0929. We're going to ask you a couple of questions regards to the All-Star game, and you can always ask Big Hugh a question about and we're going to talk basketball in this segment here in the next couple of segments, so we'd like to keep it to the NBA if we can. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number. If you're looking for Twitter, we are actively engaged on the Twitter, on our show, during the show, at Big Hugh, well, all the time, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke, it's F-R-I-C-K-E, at 99 The Game, at Oren Romaine, at Abe Gordon. We're all invested in the Twitter, so if you want to get a hold of us on the Twitter during the show, or, of course, if you want to call, 404-741-0929. With the All-Star game, the question I have is, how into it are you that it's All-Star weekend? We have two All-Star weekends here in Atlanta. The baseball All-Star game is going to be here in the summer. And the All-Star weekend here was just kind of made up out of thin air. It wasn't originally supposed to be here. I forget where it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I forgot, too.
Anyway, it was supposed to be somewhere else, and because of the COVID, they moved it here. So my question is, you know, how into it are you? Are you, hey, it's the All-Star game, it's here, I'm into it, or, it's only one day, there's no Trey, kind of hard pass?
I'm not into it. I mean, I would say with the choices that are given to me, John, I would have to go with hard pass, because it's not going to be the same. Even though that there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be the interaction that it once was. I remember being here in All-Star game and trying to go downtown. That was tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just packed. And then you talk about all the events and stuff, and I had tickets to go to the game. I didn't even make it to the game. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just with all the people that were here and everything, it was one of those events that, you know, it's a big weekend. And with everything that's happening and the fact that a lot of the stars won't be here and the people that, you know, and I'm not just talking about stars as far as NBA stars. I'm assuming that there, you know, a lot of the celebrities aren't going to be here as well. Some of them might, but, you know, for the most part, nobody's going to be here. But, yeah, it's just a different weekend.
So I want to ask Abe Gordon, because he is the super fan here. I mean, even more so, I think, than the rest of us in terms of, you know, here's a guy that watches sports 24/7, 365. And so, Abe, how into it are you that the All-Star game is here? You know, are you, hey, it's the All-Star game, it's here, I'm into it, or it's one day, no Trey, hard pass?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, we don't – Atlanta is one of the most significant celebrity cities in the country, and we're going to be deprived of that. We're not going to have the actors who reside here. We're not going to have the musicians who reside here, and the sort of like. There will be no I'm not going to say there will be no 2 Chainz. He actually may find a way into the game somehow. But, I mean, Sam L. Jackson's not going to be there. Ludacris probably not going to be there. Maybe Killer Mike will be there, and you're rocking it. But, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's not going to have that Atlanta feel, the social importance that it would in a normal year with a full crowd and the celebrity events and all that stuff. So it loses something. So it's going to lose that for me. The fact that it's here, it may as well be anywhere. If we're not going to showcase what's special and important about our city, we're not able to. So, yeah, it loses a little bit.
What was it here? It was here. All-Star Weekend was here. I don't know. Six? No. It's been in the last 5 or 6 years. We had the NBA All-Star game here.
It has been?
Yeah. It hasn't been since 2003.
No, I remember the last one that I remember here. It's been a while ago. I don't know if there's been one like before that. I don't remember. But I remember going to the one you talking about, the 03 one. Yeah, back okay. in the day. 03. I remember that.
Right. Yeah, the last All-Star game here in Atlanta. Was it 03? Yeah, it was. Back when it was still Phillips Arena.
That was Jordan's last one.
Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah,
because I remember that, because that was when I was going to go, and my wife went into labor at the time, and then we had little Hugh, so yeah, I didn't make it.
I'll be darned. Wow, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect it was that long ago. That doesn't seem. Yeah, hey, listen, time does fly when as you get a little bit older. I didn't think it was that long ago. Wow. Okay. All right. It was 18 years ago. How do you feel? 404-741-0929. Oren, how would you vote into this? Are you into this weekend? Or, you know, hey, it's the All-Star game. It's here. I'm in. Or are you one day no Trey, hard pass?
I used to love the All-Star game and all the events because it always coincided with my birthday. So there would always be, like, if it was the weekend, it would always land on my birthday weekend, which really loved it in that regard. It being moved this year and no Hawk being in it, and I don't know, it's lost a little bit of the luster to me. I may still watch it, but I'm happy that the NBA is doing this for HBCUs this year. I'm happy that they're raising money, but I don't know if it has the same kind of viewing draw for me as it used to, or as it would normally.
Right, because normally, Hugh, I mean, you'd have All-Star Weekend, you would have, the whole NBA experience would be set up, you would have, you know, everybody knows about, you know, All-Star Saturday with the skills competition, the three-pointer and the slam dunk, and then the game on Sunday. Everybody knows about that. What they may not know, if they've never been part of an All-Star game, is all the other things that the NBA would do around it. You'd have this gigantic, ginormous setup for NBA All-Star Weekend with courts, including they would put together a 5,000-seat court, you know, somewhere, you know, like in the case of Atlanta, they would build it inside the World Congress Center, and you would have that big celebrity game there, and you would have other events there. And so it wasn't just All-Star Saturday and All-Star Sunday. It was All-Star Thursday, All-Star Friday, All-Star Saturday, All-Star Sunday.
It was a
whole weekend.
Yeah, it was a lot going on, and it would be fun, man. And it would be – you would just see all – like everybody, anybody who was anybody would be there. And everybody would be out there on the court, and you know, you have all the old heads. It was a great marriage between the young NBA and older NBA as far as the old heads go. You know, like Barkley and guys like that, Dominique, you get a chance to see all of them. Yeah, it would have been a great weekend.
So are you into it or not? 404-741-0929, of course, on the Twitter as well, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Because I know one thing, the Major League Baseball's out there saying, hey, listen, it is fully our intention to have a full-blown, you know, and of course they have a tremendous luxury because here it is, it's, you know, what, March the 5th. And the game is on March the 7th for the All-Star game. The baseball All-Star game is going to be in July. And as we see the numbers continue to, you know, crash around the nation, and we start to think that with the number of vaccines going up, that we're starting to finally beat this COVID thing. And so as we get to July, Major League Baseball is saying, hey, you know, we're going to have a full blown All-Star weekend. We're not going to be shading anything here. We're coming to Atlanta with everything we got in terms of how we're going to handle our All-Star weekend. It's going to be same as it ever was, back to normal for their All-Star game. And this isn't the case here. But I do know this. We saw, Hugh, the IG with the list of parties. Oh, my gosh.
And those are just the ones that you saw. I mean, it's a lot going on this weekend.
Kevin joins us this morning. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the show. Hey, so, Kevin, is it All-Star Weekend and you're in, or is it, you know, one day and hard pass?
It's one day and hard pass. And it actually, I'm glad you brought up the Major League Baseball thing, because it's kind of interesting to me. After Enciarte came out and said the other day that he can still help the Braves, you know, you look at All-Star games and the opportunity for different rookies to play with different veterans and how that leadership can translate to their development, even though it's just one game, it can have an impact on the rest of their season. And I just wonder if, you know, with Hugh's experience in the NFL, that veteran presence in the locker room, and I know it's kind of a switch, but it's been critical and crucial for some of those NBA All-Star games to see that dynamic of the rookies and the vets. Do you think that that's going to translate well to Enciarte's role with the Braves this season?
You're talking about, do I think that Inciarte's role is going to transfer with the Braves this year? What are you asking? What was he asking, John?
You're talking about veterans and their impact on younger players.
I think that's important, because it's like it's different being a pro. You know, it's like, you know, you learn how to the one thing that I remember about, you know, being a professional athlete when I was coming up was just how guys practice, how they approached preparing for the game, you know, guys taking notes, all of that stuff. It's funny that, you know, people look at athletes and they look at them as, you know, hey, you're out there playing a game. Mm-hmm. But, boy, when you're on a professional level, and I can say this about all the sports, the level of preparation that goes into getting ready for the game or preparing for your opponent, you know, whether it's an individual opponent or if it's a team opponent, the film study and everything, there's a lot of work that goes into that during the course of the week. And I'm pretty sure it's different in baseball because you don't have the kind of time that you have in an NFL season to study everybody. So it kind of – I'm assuming it has to be on the fly a whole lot, and you have to do a whole lot of that work. You got to take your work home. You got to do your homework, you know. So I'm assuming that, you know, with the young guys, you're probably calling, say, for instance, Freddie or somebody like that, and they're watching film, and you're going over notes about what did you see, how did certain person does this, or are there any tells when somebody's at the plate or something like that. So it's probably different in baseball because you're probably constantly watching film because you play so much.
Another Kevin wants to weigh in on this. How do you feel? Is it, hey, listen, we're excited for the All-Star game or not? Are you in or are you hard passing? Your calls next as Atlanta hosts the NBA All-Star game. Sports Radio 90, Time of the Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.